We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. This is Wednesday, September the 13th, 2023. Thank you for listening to AFR. Well, joining me in studio for this here program is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
Hey, let me ask Brent Creeley. Brent, our producer. Brent's our producer. Rarely speaks, but when he does, it's profound.
It is.
Brent, Ray Pritchard, you remember him?
Yes, sir.
He used to be on our show for a number of years, and he, like, disappeared for the summer. I mean, where is he now?
Ray is off preaching, and I am, y'all can talk amongst yourselves. Well, I'm pulling the text message up where him was talking.
Do you think is something we said, you think, maybe, or why didn't
he's going to be back next week.
He is?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
He'll be back next week.
But he has been gone for weeks now.
Right. Well, you know, we all make life choices.
Yeah.
And he's made a choice to go preach the Bible at these camps rather than be on the radio with us.
Go and preach the Bible.
So, I mean, what does that say about him? Huh? All right. So I just wanted listeners to know that
Ray was not involved in the prisoner swap with Iran. Right. He is still in the United States.
We have not forsaken him, nor has he forsaken us.
That's right.
Ray is a Bible teacher, and he used to pastor for many, many years a church. And now he writes books and travels the country speaking at conferences and camps. And so that often in the summertime, at least summertime extended to September, often covers weeks at a time.
Right.
Weeks at a time. All right, Ed, you want to tell folks how they can watch this show on the internet?
Yes, they can go. There are two options.
Only two.
You can go to Facebook and search for Today's Issues and click through. You can watch the live video stream of this program. Or you can go to AFA's own streaming platform. That's streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. I'm looking at it right now. I think we're working on getting the video stream for that. But those are your two options. We used to be on YouTube, but they banned us because I mentioned the word ivermectin one too many times.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. Into the black hole we went.
We might reapply for that sometime, Brent. Reapply for the YouTube. See if they'll let us back on.
I've got a couple of more things I need to do to it, and we should be good to go.
To try again.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we don't need to talk about this publicly. You know what I'm saying? That we're going to try to go back on YouTube. Like, we don't need to tell our listeners or anything. Like, we need to keep this between ourselves so that when we reapply, you know, nobody's triggered.
Absolutely. I think we should absolutely keep this
a secret. So can you do that?
Yes.
Can you keep it secret?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So we'll try to get back on you. You know, I don't really care because we have our own streaming service.
Right.
But just for fun, just for kicks, I'd like to see whether we can get back on after 2 years of you triggering YouTube by using the word ivermectin. Which is a drug that's been around forever.
Yeah.
That people use for various reasons. But
we mentioned it in connection with COVID.
Yes.
And hydroxychloroquine, and that was all it took, apparently.
Although they wouldn't tell us that.
No. They said we violated their community standards.
Right. That's what they want you to guess.
Believe me, I've been on YouTube before, as most of our listeners have. They don't have community standards. I'm not sure what they're talking about.
Okay. You just got us banned again by saying they don't have community standards. All right, Fred Jackson, what's leading the news this morning?
Big story right now this hour is out of Pennsylvania. That escaped convict from Chester County. The search for him has just captured the nation's attention over the last 2 weeks. Been on the loose for 2 weeks. Well, he was captured early this morning. His name is Danilo Cavalcante, 34 years old. He was awaiting transfer to a state prison after being convicted of killing his girlfriend, stabbed her 38 times in front of her children. That's back in 2021. He escaped from this county jail. Maybe some have seen the picture where he basically scaled up the wall, got through some heavy-duty razor wire somehow, and escaped. So he's been on the loose for 2 weeks. Just dozens, perhaps over 100 people looking for him. There was news from the weekend or early Monday morning where he had broken into a house and got a 22 caliber rifle. That made the search even more dangerous, knowing that he was now armed. Well, what happened was around 1 o'clock this morning, authorities using thermal technology surrounded him in the woods not far from the house where he stole that rifle. However, there was a very bad storm that moved into the area, and they had to wait. And so around 8 o'clock this morning, they finally moved in. He tried to escape through some heavy brush, and they actually had search dogs with him, and that search dog was the one that went in and kind of glommed onto him and stopped him. So no shots had to be fired. He's had a dog bite or something of that nature, but he's been captured. We have reported that he was in the country illegally. Somehow he managed to get out of Brazil using a cooked-up passport back several months ago. He made it to Puerto Rico and from there entered the country illegally. And that is another part of the whole story in this. But he is in custody this morning, and authorities are praising the search teams. As I say, they use thermal technology. They brought in a special team, a border kind of patrol team that has expertise in this area of looking for these people in brush areas. And fortunately, they were able to catch him this morning without shots being fired. Nobody injured. None of the search teams injured. But this guy, he scared a lot of people while he was on the loose because of his background. By the way, he was wanted in Brazil, too, for a possible murder down there. People are trying to figure out how he got out of Brazil clutches. How did he get a passport, et cetera, et cetera. But he, at one point, there were several schools that were shut down in this area of Chester County, Pennsylvania, because they were worried. This is a dangerous guy. But he's now back in custody. You can imagine that there's going to be reviews of the security of this county jail. But the state police now say he's going to be in state custody. And they're confident, I'll put it that way, that he will not be able to escape again. By the way, another interesting thing, the authorities interviewed his mom, who is still in Brazil. They recorded her voice and played it from helicopters calling on her son to surrender, to give himself up. So there was a lot of different tactics that were used. He apparently has a sister that's in the country illegally. They approached her. She was not willing to cooperate. And apparently now she is going to be deported.
And this, you mentioned this elite border patrol unit for the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The unit is called a BORTAC. I'm guessing that means Border Tactical. And it says, article I'm reading says, they're skilled at apprehension, played a critical role in the capture of another prison break in New York and a mass shooter in Texas. Hmm. Earlier this year. So this guy's name was Danilo Cavalcante, and all I can say is book him, Danilo. Mm-hmm. This guy shouldn't have even been in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And a young lady's dead because he was here.
Mm-hmm.
Moore could have been hurt if he had not been captured. And this is on the Biden administration and Democrats who have thrown the border open to anyone and everyone. And that's what former President Trump used to say, is that coming across that border are criminals and rapists and terrorists. He never said all the people coming across were that, but this is an individual mm-hmm. who more than likely was guilty of a murder in Brazil and crossed that open border. So President Trump was right about this. Conservatives on the Republican side of the aisle are right about this. All of those running for president for the GOP nomination this year want to shut down that border. But we can't get any cooperation from the Biden administration, so this one's on you, President Joe.
And we were talking about this in the story meeting. Earlier this week, there was a story that the Border Patrol has detected at least 120 people crossing our border who are on the terrorist watch list. So that's 120 that they have detected. One has to assume that at that level of individuals coming across our border, there are probably only the good Lord knows how many others who were not detected
yep.
that are now in this country.
And since they're on the terrorist watch list, they're not here to get good deals on sneakers.
No.
These people are here with plans to harm Americans and to disrupt our country.
You know, it has been disturbing to watch Republicans in the House, since they took control of the House, have held a lot of hearings on the crisis on our southern border, and to watch Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security, just smile when he is challenged about the questions of the now hundreds of thousands who have crossed the border since Joe Biden became president. And he sits there with a smirk on his face.
It's in the millions total.
Yes.
Yeah.
He sits there with a smirk on his face. He's under oath.
Yeah.
And says the border is under control.
Right.
It's under control. Well, I guess you have to ask what is the definition by the Democrats of under control these days?
Well, let's ask the mayor of New York City.
Mm.
Yeah.
Whether he believes his own Democrat party leadership about, and the White House about the illegal immigration being under control. It's not. They don't care. Biden doesn't care, and neither does, many in the Democrat Party, unfortunately.
No. No. I think when Mayorkas says the border is under control, I think he means it. But what he defines as under control is it's operating just the way we want it to.
Right. I agree
Wide
with that.
Open.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yes, because they want everybody in the world to be able to come here and apply for asylum.
Right.
And they believe that everybody in the world who comes here needs to be able to allow entry into the interior of right. the U.S. This is just a basic philosophy that most Democrats have. They don't believe in borders, really.
Right.
Now, Sinema does, the senator from Arizona, the Democrat. If you're an official on the border, by that I mean you're a representative of a border state or governor of a border state, then you give lip service at least to controlling the border. You care more because you have to be responsive to your citizens. I'm talking about in Arizona. But Arizona, they just elected a Democrat governor. So I don't think the people of Arizona really give a rip. I'm not talking about all of them, but a majority of Arizonans don't care about their own border.
If they did, it would be top of the list.
Yes.
And they would vote on that basis.
Yes. So I don't see the people of Arizona, a majority of them, really caring too much about this issue, enough to make it a top tier
right.
voting issue. Mm-hmm. That's a mystery, I guess. You would think it would be, but it was not in the last governor's election. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Fred.
Well, we just reported on this announcement that was made yesterday, I think towards the end of the program yesterday, that House Leader Kevin McCarthy announcing the go-ahead for an impeachment inquiry against President Biden. It's been really interesting. The Democrats yesterday reacting to this, saying it's nothing but a witch hunt, that they have no evidence to warrant an impeachment inquiry. Well, the head of the House Judiciary Committee, Republican Jim Jordan, says in one aspect, in one case alone, that being the Burisma case, Hunter Biden, who sat on the board of Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company, they have enough evidence of the involvement of his dad, now President Biden, that it warrants this kind of investigation. Jim Jordan, he was interviewed this morning. Cut number one.
There are four key facts, four central facts that are at the heart of this issue. The first is Hunter Biden was put on the Burisma board. Second, he was put on that board with no qualifications. Third, Burisma asked him, can you weigh in with D.C. to relieve the pressure we're under from the prosecution, from the prosecutor here in Ukraine? And fourth, Joe Biden did just that. He leveraged our tax money to get the prosecutor fired.
And there's evidence of that. Remember, after Joe Biden left office, he was at an event. We've played the audio, I think, a couple of times, where he bragged about that he went to the Ukrainian government. He said, you're not getting any more United States aid. He was vice president at the time. You're not getting any United States aid unless you fire that prosecutor that's looking into Burisma. And he bragged, saying, hey, by the end of the day, that prosecutor was fired.
I want to know, is there a money trail, though, between is there a money trail that can be established between Hunter Biden's international business deals and money to his dad to buy a house, pay for living, extravagant living, or whatever, I don't know. Did Joe Biden make money off Hunter Biden's dealings? Can that be proven?
That's the fulcrum of this whole thing. You have to be able to prove that, because I don't think it's probably unusual for politicians at that level, talking about Vice President Biden at the time, to try to flip that political influence to help family members. I don't think that's probably unusual.
Republicans and Democrats do that and have done that.
So the question is, was there a quid pro quo? Was there a this for that?
Yeah.
If we will put Hunter Biden on the Burisma board, if you do this for us,
right,
and then we'll pay you in addition. Right. That would be...
Some things are self-evident, right? I mean, if Hunter Biden had some kind of expertise in energy, maybe you would say, well, that's the reason that this big Ukrainian energy company paid him hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't know how much, millions maybe.
It was $80,000 a month, I think.
Great. And so paying him that kind of, boy, that guy can go through the money, can't he? If he's saying he's broke. But anyway, I guess when you're a drug addict, and sadly, you can run through a lot of money.
Right.
Anyway, so you can argue that, you could have argued, had he had experience, well, that's what they're paying him for. But this was just blatant.
Right.
And I thought it was, and I think it is, at least unethical, violates ethics, congressional ethics. I'm sorry to use an oxymoron there. is that what that's called?
I think that's probably
congressional ethics.
Yeah. self-contradictory.
Yeah, thing. Yes. So, regarding this, they were paying him off for his influence that he could get with his dad to make policy changes or to make things that benefited their company so they could make money. And therefore Hunter Biden was worth paying.
Right.
Even though he had no expertise in the area, he probably didn't even speak Ukrainian.
Right.
Okay. Now, all right. I'm just saying Republicans and Democrats have done this kind of thing probably since the dawn of time.
Right.
Right.
And not just in our country.
Jared Kushner, the son-in-law of former President Trump, struck like some kind of $2 billion deal when he left the White House with the Saudis.
Right.
All right. I'm not suggesting that's
maybe he was worth $2 billion, but
how do I know that? Kellyanne Conway, the former aide for Trump, she was on Fox News laughing about it.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Everybody knows Jared made a killing.
Right.
When he left the White House with the Saudis. Now, I don't know if that's illegal or unethical or whatever. I'm just saying that a lot of these government officials and their family members, they do try to make money off of their peddling influence.
Yeah.
And it's
probably very difficult to actually prove. Right. That's why this is a high hurdle for the Republicans in the House. It's probably hard to prove that, for example, Mitch McConnell, isn't his wife, is her family has some kind of shipping business from in China. Okay. It's very difficult to prove that there is a direct line between being Mitch McConnell and his wife. And is there money coming from? I mean,
right? It's a tangled web.
Yeah,
and it's hard to untangle and prove.
Right,
and that's what it sounds like to me is the Bidens are saying prove it.
Yeah,
or Joe Biden, to the extent he knows what's happening. is saying because that's what he said. What about 3 or 4 months ago? He said, "Prove it. Show me where I made money off Hunter's business deals."
Which is the whole point about money laundering. Is that you try to make it so it's very difficult to actually prove it.
Right. And remember, he did this 10 years ago. This is 10 years or so ago when he was VP. So he would have been much more with it. Now, so they're going to bring impeachment.
An impeachment inquiry.
Inquiry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is that where you ask about impeachment?
No, you gather evidence.
Mm-hmm. It's an inquiry.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they're inquiring. Inquiring minds want to know. So you bring witnesses in, and this is another part of why this is a very difficult process for it to pan out for Republicans. I mean, I think they probably need to do it, but this is not the same as the Justice Department that can drag people in, you know, and force them under oath to answer questions, those kinds of things. This is... You have to get people to cooperate with subpoenas and to come in and testify before Congress. And so it's not the same as being brought in by the FBI and asked questions. So this is not going to be an easy thing. But Republicans claim to, quote unquote, have the receipts. And I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. All right, Fred.
All right. I know we have to go to a break. So very briefly, another story that's brewing out there this morning. Senator Rand Paul, Republican senator from Kentucky, along with a group of other Senate Republicans, have sent a letter to the Central Intelligence Agency regarding an allegation from a whistleblower that the CIA offered to pay off its analysts to change their position on the COVID-19 lab leak theory. Now, as the story goes, the CIA, in the midst of the whole pandemic, set up a team of 6 or 7 agents to investigate as to whether the virus came from the Wuhan lab. According to the report of this whistleblower, they came back and they said, yes, this is what we found out, that the virus came from the Wuhan lab. According to this whistleblower, these agents that were then offered money to change their story. And this has initiated this letter from Senator Rand Paul and a group of other Senate Republicans. They have written a letter to the CIA. They want all kinds of documentation with regards to this investigation to see if they can prove whether this whistleblower is telling the truth.
And Rand Paul has been a bulldog on the COVID issue.
Yes.
And listen, this is the problem with having huge bureaucracies that don't directly answer to, they're supposed to answer to Congress, but they basically don't. No. They do whatever they want. This is, again, this is another hard row to hoe for Rand Paul. But that's the problem when you have these huge bloated deep state alphabet agencies.
Yes.
I love Rand Paul, though. center for Kentucky.
I like his dad, too.
His fighting spirit. He'll be back. We'll be back momentarily.
Did you know that every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds, introducing them to the beautiful life growing inside. Once she meets her child inside her womb and hears their heartbeat, the chance of her baby's life doubles. Because of the generosity of you and me, who donate just $28 to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn can do this. The cost of a dinner to save a life, the most worthwhile investment you can make. All gifts are tax deductible and go entirely to saving babies. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life as they grow and pursue meaningful careers. One thing is for sure, you will never regret saving a child's life because life is a miracle. Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250. Baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred. Here, if you want to send us an email, again, it needs to be a K-Love email, positive and encouraging. Okay? That's the kind of emails we like here. Right, Ed?
That's right.
Who wants to open up an email and have somebody just...
I don't even like constructive criticism. I don't care if they're trying to help me. I want my best life now, and that does not include criticism.
I'm high five me on that, yes, brother. Sir. I'm with you. I don't want it either. I don't like that either.
Folks, I'm just kidding. I get constructive criticism all the time. As soon as I step in that house after work.
I knew this was coming.
You get constructive criticism whether you like it or not.
I talk trash because my wife does not listen to the show. And she doesn't listen, not because because we're clearly not.
Right.
She just can't take the bad news.
She wants to live in her happy place.
So that's absolutely right.
Right. So what does she want, Days of Our Lives, or what does she do for that?
Oh, no. She doesn't watch that either.
I'm just kidding. All right. So, well, joining us right now, a very positive person, Dr. Alex McFarland, who's on with Bert Harper each afternoon on American Family Radio from 3 to 4 Central Time with Exploring the Word, a live on the radio Bible study that many, many of you listen to each afternoon. Weekdays. Alex, good morning to you, brother.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, where are you today?
Well, I'm in an airport en route to Washington.
Are you like in a closet?
Are you in a bathroom stall or something?
I'm trying to find a quiet place, and so I went into this hallway, but it sounds echoey, doesn't it?
Hey, do you see? Well, yeah, it does. You see Tom Hanks around there anywhere?
Tom Hanks.
You see Tom Hanks around there anywhere?
No, not living in the airport, although I probably have spent years of my life in airports.
Yeah, you have, because you travel all the time all over the country. Hey, your new book that you and Bert wrote is out. It's called 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families. We're going to be giving this as a premium in our upcoming Share-a-thon in about a month from now on American Family Radio. We're excited about that, tremendously excited about it. But you and Bert, this is your second book, right?
It is our second book, and we're very excited. And Tim and Ed and everybody, I've got to say, it is just like the greatest honor of my life that something we would create is going to be the premium in Share-a-thon. And, the funny thing was we did this book, and these are actual questions from actual listeners to Exploring the Word. About 2 years ago, we did 100 Bible Questions and Answers. And this is 100 more. We were going to call it 100 more Bible questions and answers, but what we did, the focus is really a lot about family and marriage and parenting and what does God's word say about, you know, morals and imparting the biblical worldview. And so we really do think it'll be a good resource for everybody, but especially for parents, grandparents, and families. And we learned that Sam's Club and Walmart ordered 4,000 copies, and Barnes & Noble, a bookstore across America, has ordered, I don't know how many, but they say 2 copies will be in every Barnes & Noble store. So we're just, we give God the glory for this book, because the best thing of all, I mean, it's an honor to represent AFR. It's an honor, but the best thing of all is that the Word of God is getting into the lives of people.
Amen.
So, Alex, what is, give us an example of one
Ask
of
you
the...
much on page 37.
Yeah, which one?
No, you can't look, Alex. You can't look now.
That's, okay.
Just all look right. at page 37.
How about this?
All right.
Here's a question. It's an alleged Bible contradiction. Why does Jesus say we should hate our father and mother when one of the Ten Commandments teaches us to honor our parents?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Great question. That's an example of what we call an idiom, I-D-I-O-M. Now, an idiom is like a saying, or and this was really prominent in the Jewish culture, to use almost overstatement to drive a point home. And the point in this case would be that our love for the Lord is so strong, our commitment to the Lord is so strong, that any other relationship would just pale in comparison. You know, obviously we're not really to hate anybody, but it's almost like the love we have for our closest human relationship is not even hardly measurable compared to the love that we should have for the Lord.
We should hate sin, though, right?
Yeah, we should hate sin. That's right.
Yeah, so we shouldn't hate people.
We should.
We can't hate people, but because God loves people, even sinners, even people who do us wrong, we have to love them and forgive them. But the hate is reserved for sin. Go ahead.
That's true. That's true. You know, even that we are to love those that even hate us, because
what?
You know, yeah, we are to love, because you know, love. We talk about this. Love is to seek the highest good of another. And obviously the best and highest good would be that somebody be born again and know Christ and become everything God has for them. It's funny, Tim, I've got to show you this postcard that came Saturday from somebody who listens to Bert and I on the radio, but they're a Satanist, and they wrote the most hateful letter. And of course, first thing Angie and I did, we were opening the mail, and we prayed for them. And I'm not trying to sound all super spiritual, but we do care. Our heart is heavy when those who don't know the Lord say that we're phobic and hateful and all this stuff, because and we talk about it in the book. We are in a spiritual battle, and it's a battle that we are victorious in Jesus. But we hope this book will encourage people. We hope this book will persuade people that, yes, you can trust the Bible, and we are to follow what God's Word says. And, you know, I got to tell you, we're not really promoting it too much till after Share-a-thon, because we want people to get this book by supporting the American Family Association, and that they will. And that's going to be in October.
Amen.
I think what?
Share-a-thon's coming up in a month, isn't it, Ed? Look at that.
Yeah, I'm looking. I think it's 10 through 12.
What's today?
It is 10 through October, 10 through 12.
Yeah, about a month from now, we'll have Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. And if you make a donation of a certain amount during Share-a-thon, then we'll send you the book we're talking about by Alex McFarland and Bert Harper. It's called 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families. It's excellent. Absolutely. And these are questions that basically have been called in or written in by people who listen to the Exploring the Word program each afternoon here on American Family Radio. And they're common questions that Christians have. And also about the Bible. There are a lot of mysteries about the Bible, that questions that need answers to, right? And Alex and Bert have spent their whole lives basically studying the Word of God and providing answers for Christians, and they put this in this book, in the book form. But anyway, but people may want to get a copy now to, for a Christmas gift idea for a friend or family.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's available yet for
okay, but it's coming up.
Yeah.
Coming up.
It'll be after Sheraton. I thought Sheraton. He said
Barnes & Noble and some places had ordered them.
Okay.
It's actually like on Amazon and Christian booksellers online.
Yeah, I was
It's funny because about a week ago I was preaching, and I had not even seen the book in person yet. And somebody came up to me and asked me to sign it. They had bought it online. So it was funny, the first copy of this new book that I ever, the actual finished product, somebody came up to
the church. Somebody brought it up to you? Oh, that's my book. Yeah. That's my book.
But I got to say,
go ahead.
It's a very beautiful book.
Yes.
I think it's very pretty. And the cover is nice, and the content is really strong. And, you know, we just give God the glory.
Amen.
But, don't buy it, folks. Don't buy it. Get one through Sheraton.
Well, we'll be having Sheraton, and people will be getting a letter. If people give a donation to our ministry, American Family Radio, which we are listener-supported, let me say, then you'll be getting a pledge form in the mail in the next couple weeks, and you'll be able to check about getting the book as a gift from us.
I want to announce that I have also put out a book.
Have you now?
It's 100 questions and answers for hockey fans. Now, it's not Bible questions and answers, but
it's inspirational.
But it is inspiration.
Yes, absolutely.
So look for that.
Okay, that coming up
at Barnes and Amazon.
So question number 56: how do you put your teeth back in hockey?
That's the job of the trainer on your team.
Let's see.
Boxing lessons for hockey players.
That's right. There you
hockey go. Fans answer the question, let's see, to teeth being knocked out, quote, suck it up, buttercup.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's a good answer.
In fact, what they usually say is, this isn't the NBA. Get back out there.
Do you remember that old saying, guys? I went to a fight and a hockey game broke out.
Yeah.
I would say rub some dirt on it, but you can't do that on the hockey on the hockey ice. All right, so, Alex, you can go back. You can get out of the closet there at the airport now. Go back to your...
Alex McFarland comes out of the closet.
Yeah, don't get arrested.
You better...
Stop?
Yeah, you better explain that one.
I know.
You're just kidding about...
Yeah, Alex has found a quiet place in an airport.
Right.
There is such a place.
Quiet place.
To do this interview. We're teasing him.
So where are you headed off to? Where are you? What airport are you in?
I'm headed up to Pray, Vote, Stand.
Oh, yeah, in D.C. Okay.
Used to be called the Values Voter Summit, I think. But
Tony Perkins and FRC. Our good friends
exactly.
are helping host that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you take care, Alex, and safe travels. And we're excited about the book, and we're excited about this being our giveaway, our Sheraton premium coming on American Family Radio. It's called 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families. Thank you, Alex.
God bless you all.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
That's right. He and Bert Harper put this together. Great questions, by the way.
Yes,
and answers.
And like you said, these are questions that people called into the show in order to ask, and they probably gave answers right there on the air, but fine tuned those to put in the book.
You know, real quick about talking about sports, how you're supposed to be tough,
right?
You know. And I still hear this today because I got a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old and an 8-year-old now, and I got a 6-year grandsons who play baseball. Now they do this travel ball thing. I mean, that's a lot of baseball. Anyway, my other grandson's playing. One of my other grandsons, I got like 37, I think, is the latest count.
Right.
Anyway, a 6-year-old's playing flag football, right?
Oh, wow.
So flag football, not tackle football.
But still, it's
but anyway, impressive. It's still me, the coaches and parents and stuff, a lot of them will get the advice given to injured players is basically suck it up, buddy.
Suck it up.
Huh?
Rub some dirt on it.
Rub some dirt on it. Another one is for a kid who's laying there crying on the field is walk it off.
Walk it off.
Walk it off. Well, I would walk it off, but my bone's hanging out mine.
I mean, the
answers these kids get is basically you need to toughen up. Go ahead.
And the things that I was told growing up that you really can't say anymore
right.
is you're crying like a girl. You can't say that anymore.
Can you not?
You can't. You can't say that.
Well, what about you throw like a girl? I told my granddaughter that the other day. She was throwing the ball, and I said, you're throwing like a girl.
I told my daughter when she was little, I said, you punch like a girl. Anyway, folks, for those of you who are old enough
to remember
those.
Hey, there's girls that can throw and punch.
Oh, yes, there are. I've seen some of those girls, like right. MMA,
right.
stuff like that. And I
go, you don't want to ask them out on a date.
I don't date anymore anyway, but I certainly wouldn't date someone who could whoop me.
Anyway. All right, Fred, next story about the end of the world. Go ahead.
Yeah. Moving on.
Moving on.
Yesterday, we reported that on the anniversary of 9/11 on Monday, the Biden administration announced they had worked out a deal mm-hmm. with Iran, a prisoner swap. Five Americans being held in Iran, for five Iranians being held here. But part of the deal is that the United States would agree to hand over $6 billion that's been held in South Korean banks of Iranian money. Well, a lot of people think that the Iranians got the best of that deal. The White House was responding to criticism yesterday saying, don't worry, the Iranians are only going to use that $6 billion for humanitarian needs to feed the poor, to feed the homeless right. in Iran, okay? So what happened was there was an interview last evening, NBC's Lester Holt. He's one of the main anchor there, news anchor at NBC News. Just happened to be talking to the Iranian president, Ibrahim Raisi. He does not speak English, but through a translator, he was asked about this $6 billion. And, you know, you're going to use it for humanitarian needs. The Iranian president doesn't agree with the White House assessment on this. I'll put it this way. Cut number four.
Do you believe you have the right to use that money in any way that you see fit?
This money belongs to the Islamic Republic of Iran, and naturally, we will decide, the Islamic Republic of Iran will decide to spend it wherever we need it.
Gee, that's a shock.
And let me translate for the translator, okay? Our money, we use it for nuclear weapons. I'm sorry, that's probably Russian. But
who are you going after? Americans and Jews.
Yes. We're going to wipe Israel off the face of the map.
No ambiguity there.
Right.
Is there? And Sunnis. They don't like Sunnis either in Iran because they're Shia, right?
I think that's correct, yes.
The Muslims divided Sunni Shia. You know... somebody made a point yesterday, Fred, about this money. Now, this is frozen money. This isn't a check that the U.S. government is sending, right? Or maybe a big plane full of cash like Obama sent over there, right?
Pallets. And that,
this is unfreezing.
It really was cash on pallets.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Cash on pallets in a big cargo plane. Hmm. That's what Obama sent the Iranians, right?
Yeah.
Well, what we got in return, what was that? Some kind of deal about nuclear weapons or something?
They promised not to develop nuclear weapons.
Did they hold their hand up?
Yeah, honest promise. Boy Scout honor.
Like Boy Scout honor?
Yeah.
Islamic Jihad honor?
Mm.
Here you have, this is money that was frozen in a South Korean bank, you said?
Yes.
And it was released to the...
Supposedly it's being funneled through Qatar. They'll make assessments, but you heard the Iranian, somehow they will get that money.
Right. Then it's going to go through, Hunter Biden's laptop.
There you go.
It's got to go th- through Hunter Biden's laptop.
Right.
Yeah,
then the Biden family gets a cut, and then it goes all the way into Tehran.
Yeah, the Iranians will set up 20 shell companies.
Right.
And disperse it amongst
and
the
bank charges 3.5% when you use your debit card, so that's something the bank will get out of that.
I think we're skeptical.
Yes.
Or cynical. Some,
or both.
Some would say.
Yeah.
We need to rub some dirt on it.
But it was amazing yesterday. Fox's Martha McCollum in the afternoon talking to this White House spokesman. And he sat there with a smile on his face and said, yes, we have ways of ensuring it's only going to be used $6 billion for a humanitarian. And I thought to myself, the Iranians are laughing at you, sir,
yeah,
if you really think that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But you know what's disturbing? I'm starting to believe that the White House is okay with misleading the American public.
Well, it's been doing it for the last, what are we, 3 years?
It the White House?
Yeah, White House.
Yeah, I've given up on her. Karine Jean-Pierre?
No, this was a gentleman that is, he used to be at the Pentagon spokesman, but now he's over at the White House. I'm sorry, I forget his name.
That's probably a good thing, actually.
Yeah.
All right, next story.
Well, this is kind of an ongoing.
You got anything good? He got any good news over there?
He doesn't.
In good news?
I would just stop asking.
I do have good news. I want to surprise. I do have some good news.
Keep searching.
The New York Jets have found a quarterback?
Oh, man.
No. Here's the headline from yesterday. Missouri clinics halt gender manipulation procedures on minors.
This is a good story.
It is a very good story. In Missouri, they have taken steps to pass a law to stop. Now, the liberals media calls it gender care procedures. No. It's gender manipulation, and that's being kind. Gender manipulation procedures on, let's say, and removing body parts from a female who says they want to be a boy. What's happened in Missouri, they have passed a law for minors. Okay, this applies to minors, whatever that age bracket may be.
Right.
Probably under 16 or whatever the case may be. That they're, it's now against the law for any medical facility to carry out these kinds of procedures, whether it's surgery or whether it's puberty blockers, et cetera, et cetera. And two clinics have said, which I guess was a major part of their business, because if they're caught doing this, the medical personnel can be fined severely for this. So these clinics have said, and it's gone to court, you know, the ACLU and Planned Parenthood and some other groups are all against this, these kind of restrictions, putting these restrictions in place. But a judge has finally ruled, no, this law is going to stand in Missouri.
You know what this really does? This particular issue makes clear who's on what side.
Yes.
So you have teachers' unions, you have Planned Parenthood, you have the ACLU, you have all these radical leftist groups that are all in favor of gender manipulation, of the surgeries, of the giving of drugs to children, which we have no real understanding long term what the effects will be. These people are all in, and they're all coming out of the woodwork. We're starting to see who's on what side of this issue, and this issue is kind of like the bright line that divides those. I don't hate to put it this way. I'm sorry if it offends people, but the line is between those who either fear God or at least hold to the Western ideals that come from the Bible and those who hate God and those who despise the created order because of their hatred for God. Mm. And it's becoming very clear in our society who's who.
Yeah, and I think Republicans are going, along with what's happening in our nation's schools, with you have jurisdictions. What is it, New Jersey now? Parents don't have to be told about transgender procedures being done on their kids.
Right.
That's going to backfire.
California, probably. The same thing that's going on. I think there's going to be a huge backlash.
I agree.
Even in Democrat-run states.
Yeah. In California, the law now is that if parents do not support their children's gender identity and their plans to transition, those kids can be taken away from parents now.
Yes.
Has that been passed?
That has been passed. It is
signed
outrageous.
By
yep. It is an outrageous law.
I think it's unconstitutional.
But you see the New Mexico governor, these people don't care about what the Constitution says.
She was rebuked by fellow Democrats, thank goodness, mm-hmm. in New Mexico.
Yep.
I'm talking about the governor who wants to suspend gun use.
Michelle Lujan Grisham.
Right, yes. Governor. 30 days.
Right.
She said, I'm going to ban guns for 30 days. Isn't that basically what she said?
Yeah, no concealed or open carry.
And there was an honest reporter, we played this yesterday, who asked her, do you think the criminals are going to abide by your ban? And she said, nope.
No, but we're sending a message.
Right.
Huh?
So these
that was her answer. We're sending a message.
They don't care about the Constitution.
Right. But now, as I say, the Democrat sheriff and the Democrat district attorney, and I think the Democrat attorney general of the state of New Mexico said, we're not, what she's saying do, what our fellow Democrat governor's telling us to do is unconstitutional. We're not enforcing it. So, I mean, that is at least some good news from New Mexico on this nutty idea, unconstitutional idea to suspend the Second Amendment rights. And if they can suspend them, they'll take them away.
Right. Yes.
Because that's the ultimate objective by a lot of these, quote, gun control Democrats. We'll be back in 5 minutes with Steve Paisley Jordahl. Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.